The Snows of Kilimanjaro by Ernest Hemingway, published in 1936. The story takes place on an African safari where Harry and Helen await transportation to a medical facility either by truck or by air. Harry's leg has become infected and is showing signs of gangrene. Hemingway establishes an ominous tone to the story, injecting the presence of vultures circling and hanging outside the outskirts of camp. As death looms heavy in Harry's future, his mind races with thoughts of his life. A life where in this moment of death feels unfulfilled. A World War I vet and a writer by trade, Harry married Helen and her wealth made life easy. Hemingway alludes to a lavish life of parties, fancy people, fashionable places, and minimum stress. Harry's attitude towards Helen becomes confrontational and negative, referring to her wealth as blood money and accusing her friends of being boring. Harry's mind begins to fill with everything he didn't write, and Hemingway, through the use of italics, provides a reader with Harry's stream of consciousness that takes on the form of prose. While Hemingway shows a mix of powerful moments and simple backstory, he forces the reader to wrestle with the fact that these stories are left on the cutting room floor, stories that will never see the light of day and will die with Harry. Helen remains steadfast and supportive even as Harry is nasty to her. He both internally and externally debates the validity of his love for her, and trashes what her money did to his talent. Hemingway states, he destroyed his talent himself. Why should he blame this woman because she kept him well? He destroyed his talent by not using it, by betrayals of himself and what he believed in, by drinking so much that he had blunted the edge of his perceptions, by laziness, by sloth, and by snobbery, by pride, by prejudice, by hook and by crook. Ultimately, he debates his love for Helen without a clear conclusion, and his indecision leaves the final verdict up to the reader. Forever hopeful, Helen awaits help. Harry dreams of being saved and has a vision of the top of Kilimanjaro. And while not written in italics to represent the unwritten prose that Harry leaves behind, it is presented instead as an actual dream. And he breathes his final breath. Helen awakes to find Harry has passed. The sound of her pounding heart drowns out the shriek of a nearby hyena. Our discussion topic for this story is as follows. Does Harry know himself? Is he upset about never becoming something he could never be? Regret is unavoidable in many ways, but how can a person live a life where the confidence in his or her decisions mitigates the role regret plays both in someone's past and how it impacts someone's future? The Snows of Kilimanjaro is a very famous Hemingway story. It's used in a lot of compilations. It appears in high school classes all over the country, and it's become a standout amongst many, many fantastic stories by Hemingway. This is one that usually gets a lot of publicity across the board. Okay, when we look at this story, it's a lot to unpack, especially the relationship between Helen and Harry, but I do want you to focus on Harry's sense of self. Is it an honest sense of self? Does he really hold himself accountable for who he could be as a person? Or is it just sort of this last ditch effort to try to justify who he wasn't? Okay, so think about that a little bit as we unpack this, right? The man that Harry wants to be, could he have actually become that guy? Or is he holding himself to the standard that was never actually in play? He lived this life of leisure. Hemingway really drives home the point that Harry was not the man that he wanted to be. But the question I want to really dig into is, was that person possible? And while we might not really have a clear answer of that, I think it's important to dissect the text and what we get both from Hemingway from a style standpoint, but also the interaction between the characters to really act as a guide here. We could spend a lot of time here talking about the way Hemingway approaches this story stylistically. And I think we can dig into the use of italics as well as what takes place in the italicized sections. I think it's really important that we do spend some time there. I know we're only going to have a couple of classes, maybe two, to spend on this. But I do think that we can analyze this this short story in a number of different ways. And I do think that those sections are important. I do want to talk about four final little points here, and then we'll wrap this up. Hemingway throws in a lot of small details that he, as always, in these small spaces that give a lot of depth to the character. One of the sections that we're going to look at is this idea of lived by the lie, die by the lie. We're going to dissect that quote and that phrase from the story. I do think we should think about this not just in the context of the story itself, but what role that plays in our culture and society. Are there people that have to live by a lie and then also die by a lie? What does that mean? Another question we're going to dig into is this concept of being turned into something he never wanted to be. In this case, that he is Harry. But do people get put on a path or a track where they ultimately become something they never wanted to be? We have a mix of stories in pop culture that will are a wide range. There'll be stories of people that become something they always dreamed of, but there are as many stories about people having to make life decisions, possibly to make ends meet, and ultimately become something that they never wanted to become. What role does that sort of idea of becoming something that they never wanted to be play in our society and culture? Is it something that is an unavoidable aspect of American life? Is it similar in other places in the world? I do think it's an important thing to dissect, and hopefully we'll spend some time on that. I think it could be a great essay question, particularly as a personal narrative. The last two are money was his armor. All right, what role does money play in impacting someone's life? It's easy to say that that role of money makes things easier, but with that easiness, does that change someone's ambition? Does it change someone possibly for the worse? All right, and we need to think about that as we dissect this story, but also what role money plays in our society and culture, which is a theme here. We're looking a lot at society and culture. And lastly, a life spoiled, okay? Can money spoil your life? I think we can have lots of conversations about what money does to someone, both having it and not having it, and what that means, particularly in the American culture, and what that has meant long-term in our society. But let's think about also other ways life can be spoiled, whether it's a waste of talent, a waste of ambition, a waste of intellect. It's a lot to dissect here. And in a short story that is focused on two people in an African safari, Hemingway gives the reader so much to dissect and digest. And I'm looking forward to a great conversation in our next couple classes.